Okay, today's shiur is Bava Basra Daf Kuf Lamed Tes, last blot in Perek Yesh Nochlin, and we are up to the Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Ches Amed Beis. Just one source I wanted to mention related to the last few lines of the Gemara. The Gemara had spoken about whether Edim, whether witnesses are allowed to record what the Shechemira says, even if they don't really know if it's true or not. The Shechemira says, you know, so-and-so owes me money. Up until this time, we've been talking about a lot of cases of Shechemira where the Shechemira says, give money to so-and-so. So they know it's true because the Shechemira is saying to do it. We're going to get to the next parak, not at the beginning, but also a couple of discussions about other cases of Shechemira. But this one is about the opposite, where the Shechemira says, so-and-so owes me money. So do we trust them or not? Are there no witnesses? So these machlokas, whether they can write it down or not, and as a function of that machlokas, is the other machlokas, whether the next bezdin is allowed to collect based on it without other testimony. If you say you can write it down automatically, so then bezdin would not be able to act on it because maybe it was written down and they had no idea what the truth was. But if they don't write it down unless makirin, if you say that even by a shchemira, you don't write it down unless they really know the truth, so then this later bezin would be able to act on it. Then Rav Dibi Min Arda said, where the halach is, we're not choshesh for bezin towin. What's the difference in the case of Rava, who says that we are choshesh for bezin towin, and that's why the shtar of a chalitza or a mian should not be written down? Unless makirin, so the Gemara answered, it depends, are we choshesh after a bezdin, or are we choshesh after edim? A bezdin after a bezdin will not check out, but a bezdin after edim will check out. So this has to do with how much we trust a bezdin, an outsider. This is not about a bezdin trusting another bezdin, but this is related to the discussion of how much an outsider could trust bezdin. So in general, the sugya of assuming bezdin came to the right answer, or the correct answer is, you know, siyata d'shmaya. We assume elokim nitzav b'daskel. We say in the from the pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem is amongst the Shechina, and that's one of the reasons that the Ramban in Parshas Shoftim, at the end of Shoftim, where the Ramban discusses kasher zaman v'lo kasher asa, the halacha that the edim zaman may only get the punishment that they wanted to give, but if they were successful, they do not get the punishment. Why is that? Ultimately, it seems to be gzeiras hakasef. Right, it seems to be just against everything that we know. There is a Kesef Mishnah that we've mentioned in Hilchas Eidus, where the Kesef Mishnah says that maybe it's based on the Smag. The Smag says that why is it that we have a halacha that if somebody gives most of their children, some of their children, to the Molech, so then one is Chayev Daraisa, and one's Chayev Misa, but if you give all your children to the Molech, you're not Chayev Misa. Isn't it worse? You give all your children? So the Smag says that no, because there it's so bad, we can't have a kal v'chomer that you get Misa, because maybe it's so bad, Misa's not even going to help you. So therefore, you don't get punished. So too, says the Kesef Mishnah, maybe that's kasher zamam. If you try to do something, we can punish you. But if you actually did it already, forget it. Right? You can't make a kal v'chomer there, because maybe it's so bad, this punishment won't help you. Right? That's one of the svaras of Ein Onshin Min Hadin. But a third possibility, number one is Zeros HaKasev, number two is this Ramban, number two is the Kesef Mishnah, quoting the Smag in Hilchas Eidus, who says maybe it's the fact that it's so bad, it won't help. Number three is the Ramban in Parsha Shoftim, where he says maybe it's because if the person was actually put to death, if the person was actually whipped, so then we say it must be that it was meant to be. Because Bezin has a certain Siyata D'Shmaya, and the Dayanim wouldn't have made such an egregious error, Kadosh Baruch Hu would have done it. So if the guy wasn't chayav for this act, he must have been chayav for another act. Again, we do not believe in rabbinic infallibility. We believe everybody can make mistakes on a personal level. Everybody can make mistakes. There's no rabbi that's perfect. Right? Everybody can make mistakes. But what the Ramban there is saying is that Bezdin as a unit, Bezdin as a whole, and especially, right, at Bezdin of Dina Nefashis, which is Bezdin of 23, we assume have a special Siyata D'Shmaya, and therefore it wouldn't have happened unless it was needed. So let's say you look at a Bezdin from the outside. There's another important source, and that is a Gemara in Brachas and Daf Yiftes, where the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Idios. Mishnah Idios, you know, Idios does not have any Gemara on it. So if you don't find a Mishnah in Idios, you can even look at the Mishnah in Idios, or look in Shas, where the Mishnah is found. The Gemara there, and the Mishnah there, discusses the idea of the outsider having thinking that Bezdin was objective. That's another part of our Yisodei HaEmuna, that when we know Beis Din judges a case, we must think and assume that they, even though everybody is always influenced by their upbringing and their background and where they come from, but ultimately, when they judge a case, we believe that they are not influenced by biases, and they are as objective as humanly possible in judging the case. And sometimes certain halakhic contexts warrant certain types of needs, and but in general we assume that they are objective. So where do you see this? So the Mizah Mishnah, Mishnah Idios, the Gemara Bracha says, Hu Aya Omer, Ein Mashkin Lo Asag Yores Vo Asam Shechreres. The Mishnah says that the Mesota, the Tanakama holds that the Mesota are not given to a Giores, to a convert female. We do not give the Mesota. Look at the Mesota. Why? Because the Pasuk says, B'nei Yisrael, V'lo B'nos Yisrael. Mesota are excluded. V'chachamim omer mashkin. And the Chacham say, no, we do give the Mesota to Isha Giyores. Amru lo, Maisa, B'char Kemith, Shifcha, M'shachreres, B'yishalayim. There was a story about a freed slave, a Shifcha, M'shachreres, Shifcha Kananis, that was in Yerushalayim, who had the status of a Giyores, V'hishkuha, Shmaya va'avtalion, and Shmaya and Avtalion gave them the sota water. Isn't that a proof to the Chachamim? So Amar Lahem, and he answered them, who? Akavya ben Mahalala we're talking about. Amar Lahem, Dugma Hishkuha. What does that mean, Dugma Hishkuha? Rashi explains, they were Gerim. Or they were from Gerim. So of course they said they're like regular B'nai Yisrael. Because they were converts. So they want every convert to be treated like a regular Jew. So that's why of course they said they, the Shmaya and Avtalion didn't. Machlokas, whether they actually were converts or they were children of converts. Machlokas Rishonim on the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos. So Dugma Ishkua. That was the comment that was said. So what happens if you say, oh, yeah, Bezer wasn't, of course they were going to come out with that answer. Gemara says, quoting the Mishnah, Viniduhu, they put this person in Cherem, who made this comment, Umeis Viniduyo, Visakluhu Bezines Arono. Gemara says, you can't say that. You can't say that a Bezin is not objective. Right? Again, any one rabbi, everybody makes mistakes. There's no such thing as perfection amongst Rabbanim. But in terms of a Bezin, Shmaya Naftalion was part of the great Beis Din, so it was Zugos, you can't say that. V'saklu Beis Din Arono, and Beis Din was Sokel the Aron. That has to do with objectivity that we believe when a Beis Din makes a psak, so that has to do with this Gemara about Beis Din thinking about other actions of a previous Beis Din or of Edom. That's what the last point that came up. Okay. Let us now go to the next Gemara, starting with the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches Amid Beis. Says the Mishnah. Ha'av toleishu ma'achel kol misha yirtze. Umashi niach talush harihu shel yarshim. A father, this is going on the previous Mishnah, as the Rashbam explains, it's going on the case where somebody writes all his nechasim to his son la'achar moso. Right, akosiv. And during that time, what do we assume that means? He gives the guf to his son after he dies, but the peiros he keeps to himself. Right, the produce he keeps to himself right now. So during that time, the father could be tolish. The father could pluck off fruit. Right, he's in charge of the fruit. He could take fruit and he could eat it, and he could give it to anybody, whoever he wants. Ma'achal kol misha ratza. Anything that he picked off before he died, and it's not connected anymore, that goes to his children. Does not go to his son. To his son, he only gave the guf. But anything that he had taken off is considered peiros, and therefore belong to his yarshim and not to that specific son. Mashma, this is Mashma, the Rishonim point out that only if it's actually Talush does it go to his children. What about if it is ready to be Talush? What's called Omeid Lihi Batzer, Omeid Lihi Talush. It's about to be Talush. So we find in other areas of Halacha, Kol HaOmeid Liksar Kekatzer Dami, Kol HaOmeid Libatzer Kebatzer Dami. In other contexts. So why here do we say it seems to be, it has to be Mamish Talush or versus Mechubar? If it's ready to be picked, it's still going to go to the son because it's still Mechubar. What's the difference? Why here different than other areas of Halacha? So says the Rishonim say, maybe because here it's based on the Yumdana. Here again, in many of the cases of Shchemira, it's not based on legal status. What does this have? Is this called Talish? Is this called Mechubar? No. You go by the person, what the person was thinking. The person, the father, must have been thinking, I'm giving my son the Talish. I'm giving my son the Guf. And I'm taking all the Paris. So if when he dies, it is still Mechubar, that's it. We don't look at halachic categories of, normally we say, kol mechubar lekarka, harika karka, or do we say, ha'omei litalish katalish dami. Forget those laws when it comes to cases of shchemira. Why don't we just say that it goes based on umdana, right? So it's a little different here than in other contexts. Good. So says the Gemara, talush in mechubar lo, only if it is detached. If it is detached, then it goes to the father and to his yarshim. But if it would still be attached, then it would not. It would go to the son. V'hatanya, but why is it different than the following case? Shaman esamuchubarin lilokeach. We evaluate. Let's say the son, in this case, had sold it to the buyers. The son had sold it to the lokeach. In that case, right, we were just talking about the father selling it. What is the son's hold on it? But let's say in that parallel case, the son, who's going to get it after the father died, he sells it. Right? So the Mishnah says, during the interim, the buyer has nothing. And then the father died. So then if the father died, what did the Mishnah say? We learned it yesterday. If the father died, the son sells it, the father then dies, the buyer, the lokeach, gets it automatically. Gets it automatically because the son had sold his rights to it. So the buyer is going to get it automatically. What if there are mechubar, there are fruit that are ready to be picked? At that moment that the father dies, you know what the Brisa says? We evaluate what those fruit are and the buyer has to pay the son for it. Meaning even though it's mechubar, the buyer does not get it. He has to pay for it. He has to either give the fruit or pay for it to the son. So what's the difference between a son and a buyer? When it comes to a son, the Mishnah says, as long as it's attached to the tree, the son gets it. Meaning the receiver. Not the father, the son gets it, the receiver. And here, the buyer's the receiver and the son's the giver, and yet we see it goes back to the son. What's the difference between a buyer and a son? Answers the Gemara, exactly what we have been talking about. It's based on the Yumdana. Amar ula lo kasha, kan bibino kan ba'acher. It depends. When it comes to a son, the father is a little more flexible, and he wants to give his son even more. So therefore, as long as it's attached, it's considered guf, and it goes to the son. Masha'enke, when it comes to the buyer, who says the son wants to give it. So therefore, he keeps it. Okay, so don't ask me any questions between a buyer, an acher, and a son. Good. Last Mishnah in the Perek. Mishnah. Hiniach banim gedolim uktanim. Somebody left children, boys, older boys, gedolim and ktanim. Ein hagedolim misparnis in aide ktanim, v'lo aktanim nizonin al-gedolim. We know the older boys, what do they need money for? What are they going to use money for? Clothing. They're going to go to the mall. They're going to buy clothing. That's what the older kids need it for. So it's a good chance that they're going to spend more money on clothes than the younger kids. But the younger kids, they're going to eat more. They have to take snacks for school. They have to take, they come home from school and they eat snacks. It's amazing. Now kids come home from school, they're always hungry. Mom is in the kitchen. But they just ate in school, they come home, they eat again. An hour later, somebody else comes home from school, okay, so they have to eat with them, because they're eating too, so I have to eat again. Supper's in 45 minutes, doesn't matter. They're always hungry, that's mamash from the Mishnah. So children, little children, probably will eat more. So before you split up the nechasim, before the estate is split up, the gedolim cannot take money for parnasa, which is assumed to be clothing, and the little children cannot take from mezonos, because they probably take more than their share of the nechasim. Ela chok and b'shaveh. What do? You split it up equally. You got to split it up equally so that everybody gets their equal portion and they can use it for whatever they want to use it for. The Rashbah here says this is only if there's protests by some of the brothers. If there's protests by some of the brothers, then we say it cannot be used before it's split up. V'dafka b'shemichu, only if there was protests. Aval b'stam, but if it's just a nice, wonderful family that gets along, so then you don't have to split it up before you do this. Why? Nizoninu mispardes amelu amelu. The stam, the stamon shutfininu mochlin zelazeh. Bistama, the older kids will let the younger kids have their extra food, and the younger kids will let the older kids get what they need. So the whole Mishnah here we're talking about is a case where there was Mecha'ah, where some of the brothers protested, and therefore, that's why it's not going to work. The Ritva has a line, sometimes if you split up things, and you're so medactic on who gets what, that causes more machlokas. You're right, there is an idea, the Ritva would admit, of good fences make good neighbors. Meaning if you have two neighbors, put up the fence, it solves all problems. But there's also an idea of, if we're just not medactic on each other, you take some of this and I'll take some of this, then also, depending on the family structure, it all depends, you know, that might be a way of keeping machlokas, keeping sechsuchim away. That's a discussion. The Aruch HaShulchan says it depends on the family. Depends, like the Rashba says, only if michu, but not lo michu. The Aruch HaShulchan says at the beginning of the Siman, in Siman Reish Pei Vav, the Yireli, the Imbechayi Avihem, lo hayuskulam smuchim al shulchano, elo sha'achar moso, hinhigo tsa'asam mitvutzes abayis. The Aruch HaShulchan says, if even during the father's lifetime, not everybody took money from the father, some of them were self-sufficient, and all of a sudden now the father dies, the older children want to come? No. So then you got to be extra careful. If everybody took beforehand from the father, then here too, you know, like what the Ritva said is right, then everybody will continue taking from the father. Nobody's going to be so medactic. But if you have sons that were gedolim, that used to be more self-sufficient, now the father died, they're trying to come back and get some of the properties, so then the Aruch HaShulchan, then it's probably better to split it up. Because you're changing something from what was, and therefore, you don't want to cause any machlokas. But again, halacha lemaisa, you just got to figure out what would be best. Bezin has to figure out what would be best for this family. Good. Continuing, that's the first part of the Mishnah. So in terms of parnasa versus mizonos, you have to be cholek b'shave. What about for refuah? What about for health bills, medical insurance? So does that have any different? So if you look in Tosfos later on, we'll get to this Bezashim next week. Tosfos on Kuf Mem Dalid Amid Beis. Tosfos says that the Gemara there seems to say that medical bills you could take even before it's split up against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you got to split everything up. Tosfos Kuf Mem Dalid Amid Beis. Look at Tosfos Dibur Maskal Avol Velo Dami Lo Haditzan Lael Ein Aktana Nizorno Lagdolim. Alright, what about there? It's different. There it says you're allowed to just, split it up. Take what you want. Hacha habi bakroi ba'alma. Medical bills is not an ongoing expense. It's a one-time thing. You gotta. So that's stomach pee, everybody's mochel. A one-time payment. You went to the doctor. Avo hasam. La olam keinu shaktanim afsidim yosim mizonos. But here, getting food, clothing, that's an ongoing need. So therefore, that's why it must be split up first. But when it comes to refuah, unless Rechmona Lislan, if it's an ongoing refuah, it could be refuah itself though. Even if it's ongoing, it's looked at as akroi. It's looked at as not a permanent need, and therefore it might have different rules. Okay, continuing the Mishnah. So again, the first part of the Mishnah said you got to split up the properties before the Gdolim and the Ketanim get it. Nis nasu hagadolim. What if the older boys got married? We'll see the Gemara is going to explain exactly what this means. If nasu hagadolim, if the gadolim got married before the property was split up, and they took monies from the estate, yisu aktanim. So the younger ones also, when they get married, take money from the estate. But if the Ketanim say, hey, we want to get married just like, we want the same exact wedding like you did. We want the same number of people in the band. We want the same number of, you know, same caterer, same everything. If they say that, ain't shomen lahem, don't listen to them. But whatever their father gave them, they gave them. How do you read the first two lines of the Mishnah? The first line of the Mishnah says they're exactly the same. Second line of the Mishnah says it's different, so we'll have to wait for the Gemara. But the Gemara will explain what it's talking about. He niach banos gedolos uktano, same with daughters. If he left older daughters and younger daughters, ein agedolos v'spardos alzalei dektanos, v'lo akatanos dizaros alzalei dektanos, elachokos b'shaveh. Again, older and younger, you don't take parnosa for the older ones, v'zoros for the younger ones, but everybody splits equally. Nasu gedolos yisu ketanos. If the older ones got married, so from the estates, so to the younger ones. V'im amru ketanos hare elu nosos kederach shenasata batem. But if the younger ones say, we want to get exactly married just like you, ain't shomim lahem, we don't listen to them. Just to foreshadow, the Gemara is going to say what it means is, if the older ones got married during the father's lifetime, and now the younger ones are after, you don't say that, hey, we want to get married because things change sometimes. That's what it's going to be. The first line of the Mishnah is going to be if it's everything's after the father died, and you take it from the estate for the Tfusas Abayas, while the second line of the Mishnah is going to be talking about where the older ones got married during the father's lifetime, and the younger ones are getting married after the father's lifetime, as we'll see. Last line, Ze Chomer Babanos Bi Babanim. This is a Chumrah of girls more than boys. Very various pshatim in the Rishon and what this means. Let's just read it first. Shahabanos nizonos al habanim ve nizonos al habanos. Daughters will get fed from banim and not from banos. We'll just go with the Rashbam's pshat. The Rashbam says that there is a tnai ksuba that when boys get Yerusha, they have to make sure that the girls get mizonos. Girls get mizonos until they get married, until they become a bogeris, until they become become of age, independent. So that's a tznai ksuba. The banim yirshu v'habanos yizonu. That's a tznai ksuba from Maseches Ksubos. But that's a chumrah of banos. Why? Because let's say there are no boys. Let's say it's all banos. So then the halacha is all banos get Yerusha, and then you don't have to take care of the mizonos of the younger girls. Me'ikir hadin. So it's a chumrah, the Mishnah says a banos more than banim. We mentioned in the past, back in Ksubis, at least, I know Ramosha Feinstein has a tshuva, that many of these tanai ksuba, for example, what I just mentioned, that the girls would get fed up until 12 years old. What, up until 12 years old was manazeh, that's it, then they're on their own? 12-year-olds, you're out of the house? So Ramosha Feinstein has a tshuva where he says a lot of these rules go by societal norms, whatever is accepted in society. And if somebody lives in a society where it's accepted that the father supports the children till they're older, so that's what's obligated based on halacha. So, obviously today, it's much, much older than 12, could be 17, 18, where a parent is expected to support a child until an older age. Or Moshe says that's what it goes to api halacha. Even though me'ikar adin, you look at the Mishnayos, you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it's much younger. But people got married younger in those days also. So so that's why things change based on the halacha doesn't change, but just the application of the halacha would be modified based on societal norms. Okay, Amar Rava, Vayter in the Gemara. Amar Rava, Hai Gedol Ache, the older brother, De Lavash V'Ichsi Mibesa. Let's say an older brother that takes clothes, and he wears fancy clothes from the estate, My De Avad Avad. What he did, meaning he doesn't have to pay back the estate if he takes clothes. Didn't the Mishnah say, V'Anan Tanan, Ein Agom, Esparnas Anaktanim? They're not allowed to do that. The Gedolim cannot take clothes before the estate is split up. Answers the Gemara, no. Masnisan besircha. The Mishnah is talking about a case where it's not allowed. That's talking about a case of sircha. What's a sircha? The Rashbam says, third wide line, Adam batel she'ein lohem revach badavar. The Mishnah is talking about a case where there's just a nobody. There's somebody who just wastes his time. He's an idler. He's a batlan. So there's no good reason for him to have extra clothes and nice clothes. So that's where the Mishnah says it's no good. But if somebody, another brother, an older brother, who maybe takes care of things and needs them, so then it's okay. Sircha pshita, obviously, sircha. You know, somebody's a batlan, why should he be able to take any clothes? So the Gemara says, Ma'od etema, nichalo dulho ninvil, kamash balon. You might think, no, the other brothers will say, it's not respectful for us, for our brother, who's a batlan, to look like that. So maybe they would let him take it. Kamash Malan, no. Kamash Malan, no. He's not allowed to take it. Good. But you see this, so the Gemara says, though, it's all about the different kinds of brothers. What about the Rashbam brings up a case that elsewhere we find, the Rashbam and other Rishonim bring up the case. Where's the Rashbam here? The Rashbam says in the case of The first Rashbam that talks about, it's paraphrasing another Gemara, that we've had in the past, that an apotropis Gemaras that we had earlier, is allowed to take certain monies out of the estate in order to have nice clothes, so he would be able to go to bat for the orphans. So you see, because it's good, the orphans are happy about that. Right, the third wide line of the Rashbam. They want him to be able to look nice in order to be able to further their causes. But you don't say that here. Here it's not said. So the Rashbam seems to say, even gadol habayis, Even somebody who is the apotropis, but it's the same kind of thing. Let's say you have the oldest brother who's going to act for the other brothers. The Rashbam doesn't mention any exception to the rule here. That's also Maita Avad, only B'di'evad. Only B'di'evad is going to work, but not L'chadchila. If you look in the Rush here, the Rush says no. You find other contexts, like that Gemara about apotropis. A Godol Habayis. Godol Habayis, you know, so that's not included in this Gemara. This Gemara is Stama brother, wants to buy clothes before they split it up, so that's not allowed. But Godol Habayis says the Rush, he quotes the Rashbam who says, everybody's only b'di'eved, and then he quotes Rabbeinu Shimshon Zal Piresh, the filu l'chadchila, Godol Habayis mutter. For Godol Habayis is mutter even l'chadchila, like it says in Mesechus Perak Nizikin, in Gittin, Amram Tzava, Aputrapa de Yasmihavi. Also, Kravi Kamidir of Nachman, they said he's taken our clothes, and he says, no problem when it comes to Godol Habayis. Mashma de l'chadchila, Kamar of Nachman, de Shari, de Godol Achish, and no Sivinote b'mamon, logarmi Aputrapa. Right, it's no worse than an Aputrapis. Right, the other achim are only b'di'evet. But the oldest brother who wants to take care of the properties, no problem. So we find here that the oldest brother might have different halachas. Might have different halachas than the other brothers. There are at least two other contexts in halacha where gadol ha'achim has a separate status. Where gadol ha'achim has a separate status. And they're both in the third volume of Yerodeah. Right, but one of them we mentioned a couple days ago, and the other one we did not. Right, one is the halacha of kibud av aim. Right, we know the halacha of kibud av as an outgrowth, or possibly an outgrowth, I should say, of kibud av is kavod of acha gadol. Right, kavod zvicha v'simecha es l'rabos achicha gadol. So the older brother is a mitzvah. I have to honor my older brother. Right, it's kibud av. That's a mitzvah. It says in Shulchan Aruch that a person has to give kavod to his older brother. Chayiv Adam bekavod achiv hagadol, says the Shulchan Aruch Chesem in Reish Mem. Right, they all give honor to your older brother. Bein shu achiv me'aviv, bein shu achiv me'imo. It doesn't matter if it's a half brother, even from your mother. If it's a right maternal half brother, it's still kavod. We're not talking about Yerusha here. It's nothing to do with Yerusha. An older brother, period, one has to give kavod for. V'yafilu hakatan hu talmid chacham, v'gadol batara yosir min hagadol. The Ramah says, even if the younger brother is a bigger talmid chacham, and he's a bigger gadol, he's the gadol adar, right? If Rav Yashiv had an older brother, right, he would still have to give kavod to him. Right? Doesn't matter. That's the halacha of achicha, achiv hagadol. Fine. Learned out. The shaila is, machlokas Rambam and Ramban. Machlokas Rambam and Ramban, does this apply after the father dies? Is there kavod, acha gadol, after the father dies? Does that still exist? Machlokas Rambam and Ramban, in the Shrashim. So what's the Bir Hadavar? What's the Sara? So the Pesach Shuv explains, is honor, giving honor to the older brother, an outgrowth from, is it part of Kibud Av? It's kavodik from my father for me to give kavod to his firstborn, to his oldest son. But the second that he dies, yes, there's kibud av acharmoso. But at least the outgrowth might not exist for acharmoso. Mashenkin, according to the other shita, no, it's independent. It doesn't have to do with father. It's independent, your brother. S. It's a separate limud. So therefore, maybe it is independent. What might be another nafkamina? Another nafkamina, is it only the oldest brother? Or all, let's say I have four older brothers. Is it the oldest brother or all my older brothers? So if it comes from the father, maybe it's only the oldest. Because the oldest one is the Bechor, right, he gets the double portion, he's really connected to the father most. Or, but if it's just independent, maybe it applies to all the brothers. So this is one context where we see an older brother, has a special standing in halacha. But there's another halacha also in Yerodeah. Skip a few simanim, a bunch, in Simon Shin Ayin Hei. Shin Ayin Hei. In Yerodeah, when does Avelus start? So usually it's simple. Usually Avelus starts right after Kvura. Right after Kvura. There's a Ninus up until Kvura. Right after Kvura, right, Avelus starts. What happens if there's a family in Chutz Laretz? They're not going to the Kvura. They're sending the Aron. Right? So all the Avelim stay in New York and they're sending the Aron to Eretz Yisrael. So halacha is, right when they turn their backs on the Aron, Avela starts. Because they're finished. Aninus has to do with Asek Bikfura. The second that somebody's not being Osek in the Kfura anymore, Avela starts right then. What happens if some are going and some are staying? Sometimes you have an elderly avel that's not going to go along. Let's say sometimes some are going to go and some are going to stay. So when does avela start? Some people start sitting shiva right away, and what about when everybody else comes back? So these are complicated halachas. Every shaila has to be asked because every case is different. But theoretically, there is a concept called gadol habayis. Gadol habayis, based on a gemara, right? The Shulchan Aruch says, right after the kfura, avela starts. That's why in the cemetery we make the two rows. The avelim switch their shoes right when they walk through the shuros. Right, etc. But somebody's sending the mace to a different country. The enam yodim masayi kavar. So they don't know when exactly the burial is going to take place. May Asha Yachzru Penehem Milolavos Maschilin Limno Shiva Vishloshim. Right when they turn around. U Maschilin Lehisabel. The Ahochimimo Monimishi Kaver. Those going along, if they're not coming back, then they start Shiva right here, and then they start Shiva after the Kfura. The problem is, what if somebody's coming back? That's where it gets confusing. If the Gadol HaMishpacha is going with them, af elu shevekan eina monim elamishi kaver. If the Gadol HaMishpacha is going along, then the people here don't start yet. You go by the Gadol HaMishpacha. Who's the Gadol HaMishpacha? How do you define the Gadol HaMishpacha? That's the Shaila in Poskim. Is it the oldest brother? That's how some say. Is it the brother that makes the most money? That supports the other brothers? Maybe that's what it is. What if you have an elderly grandfather? Let's say it's a grandmother that was nifter. And you have the grandfather is retired, doesn't make any money anymore. So is he the Gadol HaBayis? Complicated shaylos. Do we even have this concept, as Manaseh, where everybody's self-sufficient? The Gadol Mishpacha, the language of the Shulchan Aruch, is the Hainu, the Besa Samech Alei. Everybody relies on him. The Geriri Kulhu Basrei. Loshna ach, loshna ben katan. The Yesh Bishomer has to be at least 13 years old. Okay. But
according to the Shulchan Aruch, then the people that stay, they still own him, or were
they? If you say that, yeah, they would be owning him. They're not nothing.
Or are they just availing longer?
Oh, that's a question. His language is they don't start. Right? Where's the Lashon? Af bakan ain't a monim elamishikav. He's saying ain't a monim, meaning they start avelos right away, but the minyan only starts later. So I've heard of both cases. Yet every shaila, every posek is different. There's no halacha lamaisa here. This is just lamdas. Whether you go by, when they get back, you go by, they have a shorter avelos, or there's a longer. Or is it possible for two people to have, start have differently? Some of them will get up earlier than the other ones. But again, this is another halacha where Gadol HaBayis might come up. Okay, here we go. Vayter. Nasuk gadolim yisuktanim. So my comment, what does it mean? The first line of the Mishnah that we read says that the ktanim can complain. And the second one said they can't. So Amar Yehuda Hachi Kamer, this is what it means. Nasu Gdolum La'achar Mises Avihen. Yisu K'tanim La'achar Mises Avihen. If the Gdolum got married from the estate money, so to the K'tanim. Avo Nasu Gdolum B'chai Avihen. But if the Gdolum got married during their father's lifetime, V'yomru K'tanim La'achar Mises Avihen. Hare Elu Anu Nosa K'darsh Nasadim Atem. But, and the K'tanim then get married after the father dies. We want the same exact wedding. Ain Shomin Lahem Ela Mashinasan Lahem Avihem Nasan. No, it's not the same thing. Meaning, sometimes things change. You might think the father did this then, 10 years ago, but who says he would do it today? And even if, the Ritva says, even if the father gave Sivuyim about it, you're going to have the same exact wedding, dear. Right, honey, you're going to, even if he says that, you don't know what he would say today. And therefore, things change. You can't bring any riyas, so they just get out of their portion. Okay, we'll talk. What? Is that considered akroi, like refuah? Maybe this is an expected expense. Akroi is not just once, but it's unexpected. But this is an expected expense. That's why it's different. Okay, we'll continue now. But if we have time afterwards, we'll talk about a beautiful thought from Rav Schechter in the Hakdama to Ikvei Hatzon about not always assuming that things are the same as it was in previous generations. Sometimes things change, and therefore, we have to has to do with last week's parasha, parashas Vayechi, but we'll see if we have time for it. Okay, two dots. Hiniach banos gadol zuktanos, sholach le'avua bar geneva l'rava. Yilam deiner Rabbeinu, please teach us, love sub the achla v'amda v'nisseis. Let's say a woman borrows money, and she uses the money that she borrowed, and then she gets married. So the husband now is responsible for all the woman's property. So does the husband have to pay back from his properties that he got from the wife in the marriage? So the question is, ba'al lokeach havei or yoresh havei? Do we look at the ba'al as a buyer of the woman's property? And as a buyer, then he would not have to pay back. Why? Because this is a milveh al peh. Right? If a woman borrows, we're assuming nothing was written down, there was no shtar, milveh al peh. A milveh al peh is not collectible from buyers, from lekuchos. Or do we say that he is a yoresh? Odim a yoresh, he's like a yoresh, and a yoresh has to pay even milveh al peh. Even milveh al peh. So how do we look at a husband? O milveh al peh, eino gove, lokeach havei o milveh al peh, eino gove min al lekuchos. O dilma yoresh havei o milveh al peh, gove min hayarshim. So which is it? There's a machlokas between the Ritva and the Rambam. What if she borrowed money and the money is still there? She didn't use it yet. So is that obvious that goes back to the Malveh? So the Ritva says, no, lav davka. Even if the money is still there, it does not go back. Why? Because the principle of Milveh lehotzah nitna. Money is meant to be used. The second you take the money, it's finished. It's as if you used it. The Rambam says no. And you know what the Rambam, so the Rishonim say, ask on the Rambam, what about Milveh lehotzah nitna? Says the Rambam, this Gemara says, va'achla. The Magen Mishnah says, whatever the Svara is, the Rambam got it from here. The Gemara here specifically says, va'achla, it was used. Mashmi, if it was not used, then there's no shiloh in the Gemara, and it would go automatically back. So what is it? Is a husband a lokeach or a yoresh? Amar le'tanina. Hey, we learned it in our Mishnah. Nasu gedolos yisu ketanos. If the older ones get married, the younger ones also get married. So my love, doesn't that mean nasu gedolos liba'al yisu ketonos ketanos mi'ba'al? That if the gedolos got married from two husbands, then the ketanos get married from those husbands? Meaning, doesn't that show that the gedolos' husbands have to help out and pay back some of the money in order to help out with the marriage? Where meaning, mashma, that a baal is a yoresh. So Gemara says, no, nasu gedolos libaal, yisu ketanos libaal. No, all it means is that they both get married. No raya that after they get married, the husband has to chip in for it. So no raya to that. Haini, how did they even get married in the first place? How did they get married in the first place? The Tosfos Rosh explains here that there's mechila here. Before the chalukah is split up, even though the gedolos get married, it must be there's the ketanos are mochelet, that they'll let the gedolos get married, and then the gedolos will let the ketanos get married. That gets into a little bit about whether a ketana could do mechila. Could a ketana be mochelet? A ketana can't be kone. Could a ketana be mochelet? Depends how you look at mechila. As we discussed in the past, is it a siluk or is it a haknah? Continues the Gemara. Eini, is it really true that the Mishnah shouldn't be understood as we suggested? V'hatani Rabbi Chiya, nasu gedolos lebal yisuk dodos mibal. He says it explicitly. Rabbi Chiya quotes a brisa that if the older ones get married, so then their husbands have to chip in and pay for the ketanas' wedding. So Gemara says dilma shiny parnasa de isle kala. Now maybe here is different, because for a wedding, everybody, it's public. There's a kol. Meaning, what's the whole reason that a milveh al peh is usually not collectible? Because how is the lokeach supposed to know about it? But here, everybody knows about wedding needs, and therefore it's as if it's a milveh bishtar. So as if it's a milveh bishtar, and therefore even if the baal is a lokeach, he would have to pay for it. Period. Amalir pabala rava. Lav hainu d'shalach ravin b'igrase. Isn't this question related to the letter that Ravin sent? Misha meisviniach almana ubas. Somebody died and he left a widow and a daughter. Almanasa nizonis min chasav. So the widow gets fed from the property that he left. Nisseis habas. If the daughter gets married, almanasa nizonis min chasav. If the daughter gets married, the almana still gets fed from the possessions that the husband left. Meisa habas. Once the daughter dies, Amar of Yehuda ben Achoso Shrevi Yosi, Chanina, Al Yadi Hayamaisa, that story happened to me, V'yamru Amanaso Nizanas ben Achasov. And Almana is always fed from the Nechasim. And Aman is always fed from the Nechasim. So, says the Gemara, E Amrit Bishlama, Yoresh Ave, if we say a husband is a Yoresh, so then Mishim Hachi Amarasim is a Nechasim. Then we understand that Almana is always fed from his nechasim. Ela yamret lo keach ave abay nizoras v'nechasav. But if he is a lo keach, why is he fed from the nechasim? Why? Second to the last line of the Rashbam, the Mishnah says in Gittin, ein motziin lamazon isha v'habanos v'nechasim mishubadim. Right? You don't take from mishubadim when it comes to for mazon isha v'habanos. So if he is a lo keach, how could he be fed from the nechasim if they go to a lo keach? Why should she be fed? Doesn't that prove that the husband is a Yoresh, right? Halachically. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye, 1 minute. Ilav Deshalach Ravin Anan Lo Yadinan. What, you needed this letter to prove it? Forget the letter. I'll prove it to you also from a Mishnah. Vahatznan. Eluain Jain Chosin Biyovel. The following, items do not return to their original owner by Yovel. By Yovel, all original properties go back to their original owner. If I sell a piece of land, it comes back to me by Yovel. But the following do not come back. Number one, Habechora. A Bechora, a second, the extra portion that a firstborn gets, he keeps that forever. Regular, the Gemara there says, a regular gift goes back. But a Bechora is not considered a gift. What else? Veha Yoresh is Ishto. And also somebody who Yashes his wife. So you see, Yoresh is Ishto. So why? So the Rashbam explains on top, Yerushas Abal Daraisa. And the question is, if the husband is considered a buyer, so then we should say that it goes back. So again, so you see from this Mishnah that it's a Yoresh. So Amalei Rava, the Hashem, the Shalach, Miyadina, 1 minute. So you just brought me two Raya that he's a Yoresh, I'll bring you a Raya the other way. The Mishnah we had in Ksubis, Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Beusha's Kina, one of the Takanas of Usha, Ha'isha Shemachra B'Nichse Malug, B'Chaye Baila, a woman who sells her Nichse Malug properly. Nichse Malug are properties that the wife brings into the marriage, that the husband is allowed to eat peros from. If the woman sells it during her husband's lifetime, V'Mesa, and then she dies, Ha'ba Mosi Man Alakuchos. The Baal takes it from Lakuchos. Why? Why? Because the husband is considered the first buyer. It's considered the first lokeach. So you have two rayas on one side that he's a yorish and one that he's a lokeach. After Tosas Arash, what do you mean? Maybe the Rabbanan gave him the status of a yorish, and he was a yorish before the buyer. Why do you have to say he's the first lokeach? Say he was a yorish before the other lokeach. Answers the Tosas Arash, an amazing line, very important line. You can't have a yorish mechayim. Ein yorish chai, yorish is chai. Right, we have to come to the end, the last few lines of Yesh Nochlin to get to that line. The Tosas Arash in the Yeshiva Kabbat says, Ein Cha Yoresh Zachai. The Rabbanan can't give him the status of a Yoresh while he's alive, because there's no such thing as Yerusha when somebody's alive. It's got to be Lokeach, and therefore it's got to be Lokeach. So that proves that the husband is a Lokeach. Ella Amar Ravashi. So what do? You have all these contradictory evidence. So Ravashi says, Baal Shavu Rabbanan Ki Yoresh V'Yashir Rabbanan Ki Lokeach. Sometimes like a Yoresh, sometimes like a Lokeach. It depends what. Depends for what reason. The Hecha, the Tavelei, Abdulei. They did whatever is good for him. Whatever is good for the husband. Gabi Yovel, by Yovel. They wanted their husband to keep the property. So Shavu Rabbanan Ki Yoresh, Mishum Seidah Didei. Right? They gave him the status of a Yoresh, so it doesn't leave his property. Gabi, the Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, by Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, where the woman sells it during his life. Shavu Rabbanan Ki Lokeach, Mishum Seidah Didei. He always helped him out. Gabe de Ravin, by the case of Ravin, we have an Almana widow. Mishum Seidah D'Almana, Shavu Rabbanan Ki Yoresh. They made him like a Yoresh, so that she would be able to take property, even from Mishubadim. The Ha, final point, Gabe de Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Dikab Seidah D'Lukuchos, Shavu Rabbanan Ki Lokeach. What do you mean by Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina? You're helping out the husband, but you're causing a loss to the other people who bought it. So why does the husband win? So my answer is no. Hasam Inu Afsidu Anafshayu. There is their own fault. What did they do? They bought property that was earmarked for the husband. They bought it from the woman. Kiva Dika Baal. What, they were taking their chances hoping the husband was going to die first. So they took a bad risk. Kiva Dika Baal. Loi boy luhu lemizvan meitza diyasvi tute gavra. Since they had the husband, it's their fault. It's their fault. They shouldn't have bought it. They should have known that it's possible that the husband would die first, and then they would never be able to get it. Hadrullah Yesh Nochlin. Good. Again, there's more to talk about here, but let's just try to do the Mishnah. Misha Mace, last two prakim. We did 8 Rabosai. Two more prakim in Baba Basra. We're going all the way till Rosh Chodesh Adar is Sanhedrin. Rosh Chodesh Adar Sanhedrin. So here we go. Misha meis v'iniach banim ubanos. Somebody dies. First, the first part of the parak talks about also related issues to shchiv meira, or people die. Somebody dies, does not leave a will. So we don't know exactly what he wants to do. So Misha meis v'iniach banim ubanos. Bizman shanachasa merubin. If there's plenty of property to go around, habanim yirshu habanos yizonu. Wonderful. The children, the boys will get Yerusha, and the daughters will get Mizonos for their needs. Nechasim muatim, but if there's only muat, a little few nechasim, habanos yizonu v'habanim yishlo lapsachim. Then the girls get it, and the boys have to go in and make a living, and go beg and get money outside. Azmon omer b'shvil shani zachar efsadati. Azmon says, well, just because I'm a male, I lose? Right, most of the time we have that by the women. Because I'm a female, I lose? Shlo san isha? Right, so Anon is the other way. B'shul Shani Zachar, Sadati. Amar Gamliel, Rohani is Divrei Anon. Rav Gamliel says, I think Admon is correct. So there's a question we'll talk about tomorrow, what exactly Admon meant. Because if you look in the Tosfos, the second to the bottom line of Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam says that Admon is not really arguing. He's just being matmiya. Be matmiya on the Takana. Really? Say, really? That's pretty amazing. He's not arguing. He's just exclaiming about the Takana. But Beit Hashem, we'll start with that tomorrow. Maybe we'll start also with one more thought from today's daf. But if not, we will continue tomorrow on Erev Shabbos. Okay? Today, Shkoyach, we're into Misha Meis.